Right, let's get into those by-elections. There are a lot of them. Regular guest Wayne Sussman, you can read his analysis in a lot of detail on the Daily Maverick website, and he's been with us for quite a while now in the beginning, just looking at the by-elections, but increasingly looking at what the by-elections might tell us about the massively contested poll coming our way on the 29th of May. Wayne, welcome. Thanks for your time once again. Let's start down in the Western Cape. Not for the first time, you're observing that the Patriotic Alliance is putting the Democratic Alliance under significant pressure. They did it in Swartland, which is the Malmesbury area, understand, but also made quite a good showing in Oudtshoorn. What's the trend that emerges from those? And please go to any other by-election that you think we need to hear about.
Thank you, John. We knew that the PA, the Patriotic Alliance, could do well in a single by-election in the Western Cape on one day. We didn't know whether they could do this in multiple locations. And there are three by-elections in the Western Cape yesterday. The ANC lost a safe seat, a relatively safe seat, to the PA in Dijsselsdorp, which is between Oudtshoorn and De Rust, in the Oudtshoorn municipality. And to be honest, it was the ANC got a shellacking by the PA. And then the DA lost a ward, which I think they deemed safe, to the PA. Very narrow, but a win is a win. And so here you have, on one day, the PA beating the DA in Malmesbury, which used to be the blue wall for the DA in the Western Cape, one of the safest municipalities, the safest municipality for the DA in the country. And then also this win in Oudtshoorn. But it was almost a three-peat, John. The ANC were defending a seat in Clan William in the Cedarburg municipality. And a local party, Cederbach Easter, won that ward. But to be honest, the real story was the PA surging to second place. So the ANC who held this ward fell to third place. And this Cederbach Easter came within, I think, 100 votes of beating, of claiming this ward. So what this tells us, John, on the road to the elections on the 29th of May, is that the PA are taking votes from the DA, taking seats from the DA, and also taking votes from the ANC, and almost certainly going to be the third largest party in the Western Cape after the election, and will win, in my opinion, many seats, and are going to be a significant player in this election. So they have given the DA certainly, and the ANC as well, a lot to be stressed about.
Is it too early to say that the DA may not be able to govern the Western Cape without coalition partners, or do the numbers not demonstrate that yet?
These results for the PA are remarkable, but we need to see data out of the city of Cape Town, because that is where the blue wall has been the strongest over a number of years. The blue wall today in the city of Cape Town, certainly since 2021, is not as resolute as it was in 2016 and 2019, and the PA will believe that they can win over many DA supporters there. And in that situation, John, because just to remind the listeners, over 60% of voters in the Western Cape are registered in the city of Cape Town. So what happens, who wins the city of Cape Town, who wins the hearts and minds of voters in places like Hanover Park and Tafelsig, if the DA can do that again, then they might not need coalition partners. But I would be very worried if I was the DA today.
We'll come back to that conversation in a moment. We've done the Western Cape. We've got a whole lot of other provinces to cover with our election analyst, Wayne Sussman, joining us to review 11 by-elections yesterday, the second last by-election round of the year. There's one more to go. And then we, of course, are going to be looking at the numbers in the major poll on the 29th of May. More on that in a moment.
Drive Home with John Perlman on 702. Let's walk the talk.
20 minutes past four. Let's get back to our by-election conversation. 11 polls run yesterday. We've looked at the Western Cape. Our election analyst on this issue, and you can pick up his piece on the Daily Maverick website, Wayne Sussman, with his views earlier, a moment ago, in fact, on what's happening in the Western Cape and what seems to be a particularly significant performance there by the Patriotic Alliance. Wayne, let's go north. Only one by-election in Limpopo, but a couple of interesting elements to it. The ANC EFF contest, that's something that you may want to reflect on. The election held in Polokwane, but also the first time the MK party have ventured into a province other than either Mpumalanga or KwaZulu-Natal. What was revealed at Makgofe Blood River in Polokwane?
Thanks, John. So the EFF have won this ward on three consecutive occasions, and they're trying to do a four-peat yesterday. But the ANC won this ward back by over 300 votes. Still a tight contest because turnout was high. And remember, the EFF lost ground in Polokwane in 2021. And here's the ANC winning with another exclamation mark. And this is important because Polokwane is the most populous municipality in Limpopo. This will really boost the ANC's morale. And Limpopo is absolutely key for the ANC in the road to the election. It was also a disappointing result for Action SA, who'd contested there before and fell from 10% to 2%. But even more disappointing for MK. And this is something which the MK didn't have a good night last night. They only got 1% in Limpopo and then also came last in an Eastern Cape by-election. And this just shows that we certainly, MK, can do a lot in KwaZulu-Natal in particular and Zulu-speaking areas in general. But they struggled to spread their wings in these two by-elections yesterday.
Yeah, it's interesting because they made a showing in, I think it was the Piet Retief area, if I'm not mistaken,
Secunda
in Mpumalanga.
Secunda.
So reasonably close by, and I think they got in the 20s there, if I'm not mistaken, but not traveling well further north. Let's go to that Eastern Cape by-election. Let me ask you a question before we talk about the numbers, because MK took part there. The African Congress for Transformation, set up by Ace Magashule, also participating, both of them with very, very little success. Why are they doing this? Is it a way of almost leaving a calling card? It's if you're going to have a rally and there's a by-election, you may as well, or would they have been hoping for better?
So the MK certainly would have hoped for better, and I'll tell you why. The ward councillor there, the previous ward councillor, was expelled from the ANC because he joined MK.
Okay.
He didn't contest, but, I mean, still you would have expected him to rally his rally members of the community there. And it was a very interesting question about why did Ace Magashule make his by-election debut here. I looked at the language data here, and about 30% of this particular ward, which is on the Orange River, on the border of the Free State of the Eastern Cape in Maletswai, formerly Aluwal North, is Sotho-speaking. So maybe Ace Magashule thought that the Sotho speakers in this ward would respond favorably to him. And it was a very disappointing result. And again, the ANC resolute here, hardly losing any ground, and they'll be satisfied with this result. It wasn't so good for the ANC. In the small town of Pierston, which is near Kwanojoli, formerly Somerset East,
right,
in the Eastern Cape, where there was a very high turnout by-election, and the DA won a ward there off the ANC. And so we started this conversation with doom and gloom for the DA in the Western Cape, but the fact that they were able to win this ward and take a seat, particularly off the ANC, I think will boost the morale. And the DA in the Eastern Cape might be in a more resolute position than the DA in other parts of the country, particularly with results like this.
Let's go to the Northern Cape, to our area, if I'm not mistaken. Who did what and what does it mean?
So, John, this ward, okay, there are eight municipalities in this entire district. This is a very vast district of the Northern Cape. There are eight municipalities. This is the safest ANC seat to them all. And why did we have a by-election here? The ANC ward council defected to the EFF. So that's important because I'm going to give you data which suggests the EFF grew. But if the sitting council defects and runs in that seat, you'd always expect them to do better. The ANC went from 92% to 79-80%. So they still won this by a landslide, the EFF getting just over 20%. And if, to be honest, if I'm ANC, I'm much happier with this result because you've shown that despite the incumbent ward councillor walking over to the EFF, the over, essentially four out of five votes are still back to ANC. And, John, if I'm going to jump straight to the northwest with
yes,
your permission.
Please.
Because I think what we see here, there was a by-election in Moses Kotani in the small village of Pella, which is near the Groot Marika, Herman Charles Bosman country. And here, the ANC also, essentially, they lost a percent or two, but their support was resolute in this rural northwest municipality. And what is strange here, John, is who came second. It was an EFF breakaway party, and all of a sudden I have to start paying close attention to them. They have the acronym ELF. They certainly looked bigger than ELF yesterday. They
yes.
called the Economic Liberators Forum, and they came second with a quarter of the vote. And here again, you saw the EFF battle lose some ground. So this is interesting, this idea that before... be very careful, and I've said this on numerous occasions, I've had the privilege of speaking to you, the ANC support in many rural areas remains rock solid and resolute, and that's one of the trends we saw in this round of by-elections.
Some good results for the DA in some Gauteng seats, Freedom Front Plus not on those ballots, but Mogale City and a number of other places, the DA holding strong to seats that they had won before. Lots happening out in that Randfontein, Mogale City area. But I want to make sure I get this question in before we run out of time. Wayne, again, and I keep asking you this, what do we make of all of this? Because it does sound in a lot of your narrative that there are little local wrinkles. There's a councillor who defects. There's a councillor who nobody particularly likes. Does that translate? No, let me frame it differently. To what extent does that translate into national political trends? I know the crystal ball isn't muddy or murky, but it's not quite crystal clear either, is it?
So we're seeing a theme. The PA is certainly a story. This isn't a fly-by-night story
right.
in the Western Cape. That is a theme which will carry out in this election. This idea of this resolute ANC rural firewall, as we saw in many wards yesterday, I think that is a theme we're going to see in this election. The DA doing possibly better than anticipated in a province like the Eastern Cape is a theme which I'm sure we're going to see play out in this election. And then... what's interesting for me, just very briefly on Gauteng, is that the DA's result in Tshwane in Pretoria was much better than in these two West Rand municipalities. So maybe again there we see that the DA support in metros is much stronger than it is in places to the west of the west of the province. So, John, we can hopefully review this after the election, but I'm sure some of those themes I've just picked up on will play out on election day.
Thanks so much, Wayne Sussman. 11 by-elections. We go again. The next round of elections will be the last, the very last, before the May 29th poll. And we'll update you on those elections as soon as those particular races have been run. The next by-elections will be on the 15th of May, just the one out in the northwest. We'll hear about that as soon as it happens.